Okay, we're on. Okay, so we're up to the part. We did the whole thing last week. We did the statement of the of Osher Lalam Shinimin Olam Azebulon Bracha Kol Nimin Olam Bracha Bracha Maal. We dealt with the fact that the term Maal doesn't necessarily have to refer to the technical violation of using the property of the Mikdash. In fact, I'm going to give you a proof that that's actually not the pshat. Rashi does says Kinenim Min HaHegdash. But it refers to Ma'al, which is a term used in the Chumash, as betrayal. It's a betrayal of the relationship to a Kadosh Baruch Hu, because a guy who eats without a bracha testifying that he himself is the master and he feels absolutely entitled to this food. And he's only demonstrated that he's not the case by seeing the food differently as a bracha from Hashem. And therefore he recognizes that as God is the Bari of this produce by making the bracha declaration. Then we went to the next statement of my takante. What's the solution? Go to the wise men. What's it going to help you? You already did the prohibition. So he said, go to the bracha initially and teach you bracha so you will not come to mila. So we ask the obvious question, is that you need to go to a chacham more than anything else to learn 9-word brachos? I mean, is that the big solution? Rather, the brachos talk about an orientation toward the material world altogether. It's far deeper. It's more as Rambam and the Shemona Pracham talks about the role of the Chacham is to be a Rofe Nefashos, the healer of the soul. Okay? And therefore, he needs to give you an orientation so you'll not walk in there and perceive all the stuff as being all yours. Okay? That's a little sort of a quick synopsis. Is that clear?
Yeah.
Okay, now we get to the next statement in the Gemara. We are 2 lines up from the bottom of the page in Lamed Hey Amar Aleph. Amarav Yehuda Amar Shmuel. Kol nenem min olam hazeh b'lo bracha k'ilu nenem mikadshei shemayim shenemar l'ashem art umlo ah. So Rav Yehuda said the name of Shmuel. Anyone who benefits from this world without a blessing, as if he's benefiting from kadshei shemayim, things which are designated to heaven. In other words, would be called hegdish. And what's the proof? L'ashem art umlo. It's a possible gentil, which we're going to investigate in a moment. What's the question with this?
How is that different than the Maal case?
Right. It seems to be that it's identical. It's not seem to be saying anything new.
Yeah.
And the editors of the Gemara are not going to add another Maimer Chazal, which is not at least adding a nuance. In other words, they took the conversations and the dialogues of over 300 years of dialogue about these various issues, put them in an organized fashion. They're not going to repeat themselves 1 second after they said the other thing. So you have to assume there's got to be at least a nuance, at least some new dimension here, right?
Yeah.
That would actually be a kasha on Rashi because he seems to conflate the two. If you look at the Rashi there on where my cursor is, Maal, Kinenim in Hegdash, when he benefits from the Hegdash, he seems to, Shedichsev, Hashem Artum Loa, Kidamrina Kama, as they'll say later on. So it seems he puts them as one thing. But that's a little bit, it's difficult to say that. You wouldn't want to, you wouldn't say that unless you had to say that. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So that's the basic word. Okay. So So what I want to do is one of the bad habits that I kicked in learning Gemara and learning anything, any subject matter which quotes a pasuk is to actually look up the pasuk, and not just look up the pasuk, but look up the context of the pasuk, which typically means the parsha unit. I have found that consistently to be profoundly helpful. That one tip, to see where the pasuk is coming from, the framework, it only enriches the perspective. I've really not been disappointed. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Now, and it's a bad habit that I picked up. What can I tell you? The exception was the rule. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
In fact, most people are lazy. They wouldn't even look up the pasuk. They just say, "Oh, pasuk says Hashem Artzol to God is the world and its fullness and its contents. Okay. That has some level of meaning. It's not nothing.
Yeah. But
really, it really privates the intuition, which you need to bring up the deeper concept. Because I guarantee you, Rabbi Yehuda and Shmuel, both the guys who were the authors of the statement, not only knew that little fragment of the pasuk, and or that pasuk, but they knew the parak clearly, and not just in a factual way, but in a conceptual way. So they picked this one pasuk. It's the pasuk for them to capture the idea. So to ignore that is problematic. So I'm going to now go to that chapter, and I'm going to show it to you. Okay, let's go. I'm going to pick it up. This is the 24th chapter in Psalms. And it's something that we say every Sunday. Okay. So just read it out.
The Psalm of David. The earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof the world, and they that dwell therein.
No, it's the earth. No, the earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof the world, and that they dwell within, therein. In other words, the second part of the pasuk, the tevel, in order to explain what's between aretz and tevel. So aretz seems to be talking about the entire material globe, right? And the tevel is talking about the populated, civilized part of the world. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So David, when he's writing the poetry, the move of doing the duplication is a common motif. You know what I'm saying? Say the same thing in slightly different words for the poetic and content basis. Go on.
For he hath founded it upon the seas and established it upon the floods. Who shall ascend into the mountain of the Lord, and who shall stand in his holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart. You had not taken my name in vain, and had not sworn deceitfully. You shall receive a blessing from the Lord, and righteousness from the God of his salvation. Such is the generation of them that seek after him, that seek thy face, even Jacob, Selah. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be lifted up, ye everlasting doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is the King of glory? The Lord, strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, ye lift them up, ye everlasting doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who then is the King of glory? The Lord of hosts is the King of glory, Selah.
Okay, so this is a little bit of confusing. This is a confusing paragraph. So I'm helping you out here. We're not going through the Radak. And the Radak and the other commentaries kind of organized in this chapter very nicely. When is David HaMelech writing this for? He's talking about when he brought the Aron and he established the Aron in Jerusalem. Okay, what they call it, near David. He bought the place from the property from the Jezebite king, Aravna, and he made a tent, and they put the Mishkan there. You know what I'm saying? And his son made it a permanent property. You know what I'm saying? And Moshe, and he had it just as being a sort of a wooden structure, but with a tent top. Okay. So it's interesting, he says, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world that they live dwell in it. For he's founded upon seas and established upon floods, or rivers would be better. Why is he bringing that up now? Why is that relevant to when the Jews are now focusing their attention on quote unquote, establishing, as he says, who will go up to the mountain of the Lord, which is Jerusalem, and stand in his holy place. Talking about the Migdash, right? The campus of the Migdash. Why is he talking about the earth is the Lord's? So my question to you is, what Havamina in the minds of the Jewish people is he trying to make sure, and Shlomo himself does the exact same thing when you actually build the permanent structure of the Beit HaMikdash. What is he trying to get to here? I mean, let me just go through. It says, for he founded upon waters and floods or rivers. It means that he made the civilized land with access to water so it can prosper. All right? And then he says, who can go up onto this place? Only a person who has three qualities. Nekika b'ayim, clean hands, u'bar levav, and a pure heart, asher lo nasa l'shav nafshi, that has not taken my name in vain, and has not sworn deceitfully. So all the Mephorshim talk about a person who is perfected in the three realms. Nekika b'ayim, talking about inactivity. In other words, he's done nothing wrong. His bar levav is talking about his inner world, right? He's pure of heart, so he has the right thoughts, right? The right beliefs, the right opinions, the right thoughts. And lastly, is he's not sworn falsely, or he's not sworn taking Hashem's name in vain. So he talks about excellence in dibur. So the three excellences in action, maisa, machshava, and dibur. And that person should receive a blessing from Hashem and righteousness from the God of his salvation. Some of that's a person who should go up unto the mountain. And such is the generation of him that seek him, that seek his face seek Hashem's face, the people of Yaakov. So it's talking about that really the ideal people are really the people who are really perfected. And then we have interesting dialogue between him and the gates, right? Lift up your heads, O gates. Open up your doors. Let the King of the glory come in. In other words, may God Shekhinah rest in that place. So who is the God, King of glory? Oh, Hashem Yisrael the Gibor, Hashem Gibor Melchama. Notice how he talks about him. He talks about him in a very militaristic sense. The Lord is strong and mighty, and the Lord is mighty in battle. Okay? Lift up your heads, O gates, lift them up, everlasting doors, so the King of the glory may come in. So, and that's talking about a second time. He's asking the gates to open up. And then who's the King of glory? This time it's a different expression of Hashem. Hashem Tzlakos, Hashem Melech Kavod, the God of glory. Not referring to him in his more materialized sense of the one that destroys the enemies of Israel. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But interesting, I think the key point here, which is relevant to our Gemara, is why is David HaMelech he's talking about the Migdash. So if he's talking about if he's launching the Migdash in its ultimate and final location, Jerusalem, right? Why is he saying to the people, Lashem Artum Loa, Batev Lashava, the earth is Hashem's and its contents and the civilized world and the world and all of its people that live in it. Why is he telling him that? Why is that an appropriate opener for his song of praise? Yeah, what do you think?
Well, I mean, people have to be in a proper state of mind to relate to the Mikdash properly.
Ah, good. So what's the inyan here? Why are they,
Well, I mean, it's probably some sort of it could be an overestimation of the self, a certain closeness to God that they're the, chosen people that, have this opportunity to build a mikdash, they can feel a certain closeness to God.
Well, in a certain sense, it's true. I mean, there's one emotion which is more dangerous than the rest.
The religious emotion.
Well, that is true. But within the religious emotion, what's really the fear here? How are they related to the Mikdash itself?
I don't know.
Well, they'll start to play, this is God's house.
Nice.
This is the place where I got express Kedusha. But every place else, we call personal space.
Right.
Words. Everybody, is able to, you know, feels, can express idea of Kedusha. When they're in a shul or in a base medrash or a home, right? You know, and that kind of thing. But if they're out with their guys having some brews, well, what happens?
Hey, don't forget about it.
Where is Hashem? So what he's trying to counter is that that Hashem is, there's an idea called sacred space, right? This is the Makom Kadosh. This is where I got to be the good guy. This is where I have to behave. This is where I got to be in a Kedusha state. And then there's place which is not based upon that. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So that's the key emotion here.
Is worried they're not going to relate to God outside of the Mikdash properly?
Yeah. In other words, it's called compartmentalization.
I mean, they'll only act a certain way when they're there in front of the Mikdash. And that's
right. And that these ideas of Kedusha and all these exalted ideas are limited to that realm.
Right.
So now that really helps understand our Gemara very clearly. Let me just show you how. So it says, so we're talking about if I eat my fruit and I don't make a bracha, it's like I'm benefiting from Kachi Shemayim, is that I have to perceive God's reach, if you will, as the Borei, not limited to the Migdash. You know what I'm saying? Not limited to the base medrash and the basic Knesset, but in my fridge, in my house, on my couch. You know what I'm saying? In my car, at my desk. You know what I'm saying? So, what was David Amalek's point to the people is, you can imagine, everybody's all excited. There's a whole triumphant, in fact, the Navi talks about how David was dancing with great exuberance by the bring the Aron to Jerusalem, right?
Yeah.
And then what's he open up? They would imagine, what are you hoping to talk? You can talk about something about the uniqueness of Yerushalayim. What's he open up? Lashem ha'artum loa, Tevel Yashveva. The entire world, it belongs to Hashem. Hashem relates to the whole world. It's not, you cannot shoehorn him into this little tented campus. Don't make that mistake. This is a place where we can have kavana on him, but this is not the limitation of his kavod. His kavod is fills the world. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And that's a very big, you know, you see, I mean, it's not so simple to transcend that. You know what I mean? You know, people always believe, like, the person goes to the shul, he puts on his kippah, he gets into the religious game phase.
Yeah, but when you're out in the stadium, it's not so simple.
Yeah. What happened to religious game face?
Yeah.
Exactly. Exactly. So, so that's the, so that, that's a very, so therefore, so, according to Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel, he's bringing about a new dimension. Is you look at them as benefiting from Kachi Shemayim, it's now extending, at least analogously, the world of perceiving Hashem's shame, not limited in the confines of the Makam HaMikdash, things which already have the official halachic designation of Kedusha, but Hashem's Kedusha is manifest everywhere with all of his products. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So that's a big, so that, so it's a different idea. It's not, it's similar, but it's a little bit different. So that's what, that was Rabbi Yehuda Shmuel's, addition.
You mean that God's Kedusha is everywhere? Is that the main thing?
Yeah. Well, that's just limited. One second.
Do you mean God's Kedusha is not just limited?
Right, exactly. In other words, the things that reflect God's Kedusha. Now, obviously, halachically, your apple's not hegdish. You know what I mean? But what Rabbi Yehuda is saying, that the idea that David expressed to the people at the launching of the Beis HaMikdash was not to compartmentalize Hashem's kavod. You know what I'm saying? To limit it to the precincts of the Mikdash. Now, even though we don't have a Mikdash in our day, the same mentality of saying, this is a God space, and this is my own personal space where I can do the heck I want. There's the church, there's the bar. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So the institution of Brachos, says Rabbi Yehuda in the name of Shmuel, is to bring the idea of God's Kedusha in the Bria, and at least recognize it throughout everything.
So how does that translate into the world of bracha? That you're supposed to have
the bracha is a tool against that getting the fact that I am blessing Hashem, I'm recognizing his superiority as the Borei Olam by producing a system of resources wherever I am. Is I'm making it nicker that I did not forget. I'm not lost. I'm not distracted. I'm still in the game. Still paying attention. You know what I'm saying?
Interesting.
So it's not a technical kashe shemayim because I didn't designate it for the Mikdash, but it's there to conceive the same idea. And the pasuk there is beautiful because really what David HaMelech did was frustrate the people's expectations. They would expect to talk about the greatness and the beauty and the amazingness of having a Mikdash. So he frustrates them in two ways. First, he says that it's not this place. The whole world is Hashem's place. A. And then B is that who can really appreciate it fully? Who can appreciate this place fully? What does he makes it very low? Look at the list on Pasuk Dalet. Niki Kapayim, person got clean hands. Or person not done any crimes. Bar Levav, a clean heart, pure heart. It's even harder. And there, Asher Lo Nasa Lashav Nafshiv Lo Nitzvah Mirba, he's not taking Hashem's name in vain, nor is he sworn in deceitfully. His language of a certain kind. So you're talking about a high level person. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's why he says, "Mi yaleh b'har Hashem? Who can ascend the mountain of God? Umi yakum b'mkom kodesho?" That person can receive a blessing. So therefore, he's saying, first of all, two things I want to tell you. He's really saying them three things. One, the kedusha of Hashem is not limited to the makom hamikdash. A. Two, to appreciate the makom hamikdash, who do you got to be? You got to be Niki Kapan Valevashirlo Nasamash Nafshi. You got to be the high level dude. And that's a guy who can receive blessing from Hashem on a regular basis. And then he says, but then you see, they speak, and then he speaks as a word to the gates of the new Temple Mount area. He says, open them up, allow the king of the Kavod in. Well, that implies another idea.
Yeah.
And there's another reframing. He says, and let the Malach HaKavod come in. What does that imply? That is the Malach HaKavod, God's glory, intrinsic to the precincts of the Mikdash? Is Hashem Shechina automatically associated with the Mikdash?
No.
No. He needs to be welcomed in. And Mizeh Melech HaKavod, who is the Melech HaKavod? God who is strong and mighty, mighty in battle. So still perceiving Hashem as being that the source of salvation over the enemies. But then there's a second calling to the gates, which the Mephorshim, at least some say, is talking about the third temple, the final dedication of the last temple. And notice how he's going to be called then. Mi Yuzeh, who's this? Melech HaKavod. Hashem Zvakos, who Melech HaKavod Tzela. He's king of glory. Not limited to his capacity to wage battle on behalf of the Jewish people, but a source of wisdom and glory per se. So he's pointing out a couple of things. One, you're making three errors. One, the Mikdash is not intrinsically God's place. The whole universe. Hashem Artum Loa. The Aretz, the entire world is his. A. Two, who can go up? Can anybody go up? Just because you can physically transport you there, are you really eligible to really take advantage of what the Mikdash has to offer? No. It requires some perfection. Niki Kapayim, Uvar Levav, clean hands, pure heart, and not sworn deceitfully. Right? Perfection in speech, thought, and action. Lastly, is God's glory necessarily attached to the Mikdash? No. It's Yavo Melchavod. He will come. May come in, but it means that, but that's not a guarantee. In fact, I'll speak of that there was the Shechina, the divine presence, that it was a place which produced an immediate awareness of Hashem's providence was in the first temple, but not so during the second temple period. So it's not a guaranteed thing. So it's three, David frustrated their understanding in three levels. So now what the Chazal say here and the Gemara here is that anyone who benefits from this world without a bracha is as if he benefited from Kachi Shemayim. It's the same theme, is that it's to bring the Kedusha of the shame of Hashem into the everyday life. And that's, and what is that tool? What is that rabbinic tool? Brachos. I was seeing a commentary of the Ritva, and he says that before they instituted it, many of the people would have made their own brachos. You know what I'm saying? In other words, they would have, on their own perfection, would have created a system of brachos themselves. You know what I'm saying? Before the rabbis enacted it formally, if you're on such a level. So it's just, they just felt, post exile number one, that it had to be done. All right, well, I want to just go on to the next little piece here. I want to sneak that in, if I can. Last line of the Gemara, I'll turn the page also. Rav Levi raises an objection. Ksiv Lashem Artum Loa. It says in the 24th chapter of Tehillim that the world and its conduct belongs to God. Ksiv, and says in chapter 115, Hashemayim Shemayim Lashem, which says in Hallel, Va'aretz Nasan Levnei Adam. The world, the heavens belong to God, and the earth he gave to mankind. So it seems that Hashem is not limited limited to the Shemayim and not the Aretz. So the answer, lo kasha, no contradiction. Kan kodem bracha, this is before blessing, where Hashem is possessing the entire world and its contents. And kan la'achar bracha. We'll go to the next daf. Next Amud. Kan l'achar bracha. And that is after, that is after bracha. So let me get the facts clear. So before you make the bracha, the pasuk of Lashem Arshim Loa is the principle. But after you make the bracha, Hashemayim Shemayim Lashem, Va'arath Nasala Ve'adam. The heavens are God's and the earth belongs to man. So, what are the questions here?
How is it possible that a bracha could accomplish such a feat?
Right, and what is being accomplished? Now, obviously, if we take a look at if we look at the psukim in Kuf Tet Vav, it's not talking about the framework of brachas at all. So the Rav Levi here, he is just using this in a certain set to convey an idea. You know what I'm saying? In other words, there's the pshat of Kuf Tet Vav, which we should do, which we'll do now. A long one. Let me see if I can make a little bit of a. It's a whole thing. Do you want to do a little homework?
Sure.
Well, you know, I don't want to.
It's a good idea. Yeah, it's a good idea.
It's not an overwhelming amount. Yeah. Take a look at chapter 115, which is the second paragraph of the Hallel. Analyze it. Put it into what is the theme of the chapter, right? And then lastly, the last two psukim, Shemayim, Shemayim, Hashem, Arsam, Salam, Ve'adam, where does that fit in? How does that fit into the whole? In other words, the way you want to do it is like this. You want to see what is the pasuk referring to in its own context, A. Then you want to go back to Rav Levi over here. How is he using this pasuk? And what element is he highlighting? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And then one is before the guy makes a bracha, one is then after the guy. What is he talking about? Try to work on the problem yourself a little bit, and then we'll work it out with the Havamina and Maskana next week.
Okay, fine. Send me the recording.
You got it. We'll do it. All the best.
All right, Penny. Take care.
Goodbye.
Bye-bye.